First Baptist Church of Redmond, January 17th, 2021, Mark chapter 14. We do not know ourselves.
Join me in reading Mark 14:27.
And Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away, because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered."
The title of the message is We Do Not Know Ourselves. One of the authors that I don't read is Michael Crichton, just because. In 1998, Michael Crichton, author of Jurassic Park, wrote a book entitled State of Fear, a fictional look at global disasters caused by eco-terrorists. To prepare for writing the book, Crichton researched global disasters. He was particularly intrigued with what happened in Chernobyl, one of the worst man-made disasters in history. In a speech Crichton gave in 2005, he shared a little bit about what he discovered. Chernobyl was a tragic event, but nothing remotely close to the global catastrophe I imagined. About 50 people had died in Chernobyl, roughly the number of Americans that die every day in traffic accidents. I don't mean to be gruesome, but it was a setback for me. You can't write a novel about a global disaster in which only 50 people die. What I had been led to believe about Chernobyl was not merely wrong, it was astonishingly wrong. The initial reports in 1986 claimed 2,000 dead and an unknown number of future deaths and deformities occurring in a wide slot extending from Sweden to the Black Sea. As the years passed, the size of the disaster increased. By 2000, the BBC and New York Times estimated 15,000 to 30,000 dead. Now, to report 15,000 to 30,000 people have died when the actual number is 56 represents a grave error. But, of course, you think, well, we're talking about radiation. What about long-term consequences? There are estimates as high as 3.5 million. This would include 500,000 deaths. But most troubling of all, according to the UN report, is that the largest public health problem created by the accident is the damaging psychological impact due to a lack of accurate information. In other words, the greatest damage to their people are Chernobyl was bad information. We do not know ourselves. Christ's betrayal, we remember Judas' betrayal, we remembered Peter, James, and John falling asleep in the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus prayed, and Peter made denials. Jesus said to them, "You will all fall away. All fall away. Because it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Jesus told them all. All of them, without exception, all of them would be caught and overwhelmed by what would happen that night. All of them would find their faith struggle and stagger. All of them would have their confidence shaken. All of them will find their loyalty damaged. It was prophesied, awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man, my associate, declare the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd and the sheep may be scattered, and I will turn my hand against the little ones. I think Jesus was clearly thinking of his death in the spirit of Isaiah 53. That passage presents God as the one who will strike him. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. Oops, sorry, my finger is too quick. Okay. Peter kept protesting. Peter responded with all that they were thinking. Yet, I will not. He's not disagreeing with the prediction in general, but saw himself as the one exception. They all thought about this, and they all agreed that they were better than others. They wouldn't deny him. Jesus said to him, truly I say to you that this very night, before a rooster crows twice, you yourself will deny me three times. Yet by speaking, Peter was arrogantly elevating himself above the others. Jesus responded, truly I say to you. Jesus speaks with solemn clarity. Jesus singled him out. The leader of the disciples singled him out to know that his failure would be greater, not less, greater than the rest. He will not only desert the Lord of glory, he will also deny. But Peter kept saying insistently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. They were all saying the same thing. The disciples couldn't imagine that their Lord would have problems trusting them. Their Lord would be betrayed. Peter kept on protesting, saying he spoke excessively, beyond normal bounds. The only time in the New Testament this term is used. Peter kept saying insistently, if I have to die with you, they're all, they will not deny. Peter said he would, conversely, be glad to die with Jesus. He'd come to grips with what would happen. They all joined with Peter. They were all sure they'd remember, they remain loyal to Jesus, denying that they would deny. For us, is it important to believe that we're not more important than other people? That's an occupational hazard for pastors. Believe our press clippings. But I need to come to Jesus in the same way, if not more, than other people. I need to keep short accounts. I need to confess my sins even more. Should we make certain we read the Bible, confess our sins, and pray every day? I'd like to think that's the case, but experience proves otherwise. We should examine ourselves to see what little sins, unquote, there's no little sin, little sins we commit that are surely not as bad as what everyone else must be doing. The disciples were blind to Jesus' statement, and they all will go away. Keep our mind that Jesus had to die for our sin. If it would have just been Jesus and me, he still would have had to die for my sin. He had to die for you and me, technically me and you. Do we lie to ourselves and tell ourselves we're as holy as God wants us to be? Think of that. We know what happens in our minds. We know what we tolerate. We know what we're callous to. And I think we come to the conclusion that everyone else is a sinner, but our sins are not so bad. And don't we do something about it? I'd like to speak of a man with an unfortunate name. The South Africa People's Republic Organization, SWAPO, made headlines when their candidate was elected to Parliament. That SWAPO candidate was not news, as the party had a stronghold in the area. They normally got their candidates through. What caught everyone's attention was his name, Adolf Unona. Legally, his name was Adolf Hitler Unona. Unona said in an interview, "As a child, I saw it as a totally normal name. Given Germany's colonial influence, the name Adolf is not uncommon in the region. Still, he is uncertain why his father included the infamous Hitler as his middle name. Yunona said, I didn't have a choice. Well, he could have changed it. I don't know what was going on. I was a baby when my father gave the name. It wasn't until I was growing up that I realized this man would want to subjugate the whole world. I have nothing to do with any of these things. A common quote in the picture, I have no plans of world domination. Ha, ha, ha. Aaron Martin, counselor for a neighboring constituency, said Yunona is a good person. He possesses a good character. He's very hardworking with a rare personality. Yunona has worked hard to disassociate himself from the notoriety of the namesake. Still, the responses from social media indicate a wary, cynical public response. Yunona said, quote, I'm not striving for world domination. Somebody responded on Twitter, quote, this seems to be the sort of thing Adolf Hitler would say, unquote. I'm pointing that out because of the contrast. But we have a tendency to think we're not so bad. We're not too bad. We're not bad at all. Conversely, everyone would be better off if they were like me. I've learned I know better. There's a public side to life and a private side, and things that you don't want anyone to know that you're like. We're all sinners in the hands of God. And we do better as we humble ourselves, express contrition, and try to make sure that people see Jesus first. Otherwise, we'll be blind like these disciples. We'll be blind to our neediness. And we won't be the first Christian who bears the name of Jesus, claims that we're saved, and go on living the life without influence by God.